This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark, Wang Xiaoning and Roshan Kanison. It is 7.06 in the morning, Friday the 8th of November. And overnight in the US, the Dow was up 0.7%, while the Nasdaq and the S&P 500 were up 0.3%.
On the back of flip-flopping news about the trade war, one minute there will be a tariff rollback and the other minute there won't be. It sounds like every other news day.
Meanwhile, in Asia, the Nikkei 225 was up 0.1%. Shanghai Composite was unchanged. Hang Seng was up 0.6%. Kospi was also unchanged. The STI, Singapore Straits Times Index, was up 0.7%. And a little bit of cheer back home, KLCI was also up 0.4%.
So for more on global markets, this morning we turn to Tim Mulholland, President at TJM Limited in Chicago. Thank you for joining us, Tim. Now, a spokesman from China's Ministry of Commerce has said that both sides have agreed to roll back tariffs in phases, which could provide a roadmap to de-escalating the trade war. Are you convinced by this? And does this change your investment strategy?
Well, I mean, the Ministry of Commerce is a big deal to, you know, indicate that. And, I think that they're going to get this phase one done. So, yeah, and I do think it's going to be relief. And I think it's going to be relief for a lot of U.S. companies that are actually paying that tariff, smaller companies. So I think what you're seeing here is you're seeing a movement in small cap stocks, which are moving in small cap value. And I also think you're seeing some cyclical stocks. So I think that's kind of the flavor, in my opinion.
Now, Tim, 70% of U.S. companies have reported their earnings, which were better than expected. But Wall Street continues to scale back earnings expectations for the final 3 months of the year. Yet markets are hitting all-time highs. So why are investors ignoring the sell side and chasing the rally here?
Well, multiple expansion. But, you know, they did beat earnings, but they were still lower. So, you know, you beat a lowered bar. And I think company guidance going forward has been a little downbeat. And that's, I think, because of trade war, Brexit, and some of the other things. But I think the market's willing to look forward, look past that multiple expansion and expand multiples because they think it's going to be transitory.
And meanwhile, the New York Stock Exchange FANG Plus Index, which includes, of course, Apple, NVIDIA, Tesla, Twitter, and even China's Baidu and Alibaba, have underperformed the wider stock market over the past year. Do you think the glory days of the glamour tech stocks are over?
Well, some of them. They've become more selective. You know, you mentioned Netflix in there and Tesla. They didn't exactly have very stellar years, you know, and Apple, of course, did. You know, Amazon hasn't even made a new high yet. So I think it's a differentiation, but I do think that you're probably looking more towards lightening up in that overall area, allocating more towards cyclical. And I also think China actually has some pretty good possibilities as well.
And Brent crude is up about 7% over the last month, with OPEC and its allies likely to stick to their current output. Do you see prices rising further?
Yeah, I think that they're going to sit tight. You know, I think some of the fracking output has been tapered off a little bit. But, you know, I also think the Brent, you know, you look at the spreads widened out more towards six. I still look for that to narrow. You know, I think the Brent trades a little better on the shipping rates as well. You know, that comes into some technicals and factor there. But nevertheless, fracking is down because they've capped a lot of the wells, so the wells are producing less. And that's number one. And secondly, I think that that's going to happen until oil gets back to, say, $60 a barrel.
Thank you so much, Tim. And that was Tim Mulholland of TJM Limited in Chicago with his thoughts on oil, as well as earlier a little bit about stocks over in the US. Now, he did mention some of them. Glory days may be over for some of them, not all of them, but and pointed out, you know, names like Netflix and Tesla, they didn't exactly have a very good run this year.
Yeah, because we were talking about the FANG Plus Index for the NYSE, right? And he mentioned that, yes, Amazon, Tesla and Netflix seem to be a bit waning, but Apple's still doing great. It hit all-time highs multiple times this year. And if you look beyond the glam stocks, we have old school players like Microsoft coming back in and hitting the trillion-dollar mark.
Yeah, but they had a very good beginning of the year. So I think, you know, it's just basically investors kind of rotating and looking at other counters. Because earlier in the year, the theme was very much software. Companies that didn't have much capex, that probably weren't going to be impacted by the US-China trade war. So you had the likes of Microsoft, Amazon doing really well. But, you know, markets, you know, when you hit a certain level, everybody kind of wants to do some profit taking. So not surprising.
And speaking of the U.S.-China trade war, as we were discussing with Tim, the U.S. and China have agreed to roll back tariffs as part of this Phase 1 limited deal, but both sides are still negotiating over where and when this deal would be signed. Now, apparently, U.S. President Donald Trump initially suggested Iowa and Alaska, but now both of those have been ruled out.
Yeah, I mean, this is a big thing for President Donald Trump, right? He wants that the optics of Xi Jinping coming over to the U.S. to sign this deal.
Yeah, he would see it as a concession.
And then he can be like, oh, look at me. I'm the champion of the world. I made the Chinese president come here. But it's all about that. It's optics. He's got 2020 elections to contest with. The middle America's been hit hard by the tariffs. This is something that's going to be a big win for him if he can get President Xi over there.
I wonder where they're going to go then if they don't go to US. I mean, is it possible that they're going to Europe or maybe come to Asia? Hey, come to Malaysia.
Yeah, but you know,
we're friendly.
I mean, Singapore's maybe an option. That's where
come to Malaysia for a change, yeah. Okay?
And you look at it like suggesting Iowa. I mean, how obvious is that? Iowa is such a swing state for them, right? Ohio.
Yeah, and Iowa is where the first caucus is going to be in February.
Yeah,
so it's quite a bit of an obvious move there. And on the back of this news, the S&P 500 did hit a new record. But a Reuters report that later in the day that a tariff rollback was meeting resistance did manage to curb gains. Now, aside from that, in some other international news, some companies in the travel sector have also reported earnings and things are not looking so good. Both Expedia and TripAdvisor missed expectations, citing weak online search and advertising trends.
Now, Expedia owns Hotels.com and Trivago, and the company says that it has to spend more on advertising as links to its sites fell in the rankings of search results. It also says that average daily rates slowed more than anticipated in North America, and negative economic and geopolitical factors dragged on rates in Asia. Can anyone spell trade war? But you see, this one part here where he talks about spending more on advertising, this is a really big deal because he's basically pointing the finger at Google here. Because if Google Google controls search, and you have to spend money on Google to make sure that your search is prominent enough. That's a conflict of interest, right? It's Google can prop up whatever it has, and Google has Google Flights, has Google Hotels. What do we do when we're looking for hotels? Do you actually go to bookings.com or do you open up Google and search first?
I go straight to the hotel's website, but that's just me, right?
And that is a big differentiating factor.
But then it just puts into question, right, whether Google is then violating competition laws with its tendency to skew search results to favor its own services, because it's all about algos right now. It is how you find things. But definitely this has impacted old school. What I find ironic is it's impacted disruptors, okay? Because the likes of Expedia, TripAdvisor and Booking.com were disruptors in their day. So this is not good news for them. So yesterday, overnight, on the back of this news, Expedia was down 27%, TripAdvisor down 22%, Bookings.com down 8%. They were actually the top three losers on the S&P 500 last night.
Yeah, so the disruptor is being disrupted by the bigger disruptor, which is Google, right? And we've seen this happen with ads. The advertising agencies across the globe have seen margins come down, have seen their businesses become more skewed, and everyone knows that you've got to advertise on Facebook or Google or you're dead. And how does that not spell duopoly? How does that not spell a need for anti-competitive measures?
Yeah, so that's an interesting conversation that we'll likely be keeping our eye on. But right now, we are heading into a few messages. And then after that, we'll be back to take a look at some local news for you, including some GLCs. So be sure to stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.